Consider the implications of the whole person, a question arises within us begging for an answer. How do we turn from the allness of God to illness? How do we get sick? On the quest for the answer, we may discover some startling things. First of all, illnesses do not just happen to a person. We may talk about catching a cold, like a baseball player catching a pop fly in the infield. When seen in this light, we realize that we don't have to catch it. We always have a choice. If there's a pop fly hovering over your infield, duck, don't catch it. There may be a lot of talk about the flu season and what is going around in the winter, but we don't have to enter into such conversations, for it is at this point that we catch a cold, not by physical exposure to infection. Dr. Mirlu, an old New York physician, talks about psychic infection as one of the major causes of illness. In this sense, it is likely that publicized information about life-threatening conditions, such as cancer, may be dramatically counterproductive and may quite possibly be the leading cause of the spread of the disease. There is increasing recognition by specialists in the health community that diseases are actually behaviors, not just things that happen to us. In other words, they are not just things we have. They are things that we do. The symptoms give us the best insight to what that might be. We get good perspective into the cause of illness through what has been called the objectival use of the names of the common ailments. For instance, it could be said that one does not have cancer, rather he is cancering, or one does not have arthritis, he is arthritising. So now you can see and be able to see what is implied in the terms holing. It is a behavior. It is a good behavior. In the same sense, sickness is something the person is doing, which he might call sicking. If you are harassed by fears of dreaded disease, if you are worried about some aches and pains in your body, sympathetically responding to a friend or an associate who has a condition and beset with physical, mental, and emotional issues giving rise to recognizable symptoms, then you are sicking. A question researchers are asking, and which you may want to ponder about on your own condition, is, are the symptoms a byproduct of the illness, or are they causative influences that have given rise to the illness? Job said, "The thing that I fear comes upon me." The exciting thing is that this can be reversed. Our fear is our experience of sicking. Our faith and visualization of health is our experience of holding. In time, we will be saying, that which I believe in and see myself as has come upon me. Now, people talk about nursing a cold. This is a classic example of colding or sicking. The need is to begin holing, which is what we do in terms of positive strategies for directing our minds and emotions in creative support of the cosmic healing flow of life. It may involve a program of forgiveness to open up the healing flow of love, seeing the experience of radiant life and health, and focusing the mind on the thoughts and things that make for wholeness, which may include rest, exercise, and proper nutrition. One of the most influential researchers in the field of psychosomatic, or what they call nowadays psychoneuroimmunological causes illness, Dr. Hans Selye of the University of Montreal, has observed that all patients have one thing in common. Whether they have cancer, whether they have measles, or whether they have indigestion, they all look sick. Their faces show that they don't feel well. He wondered for 30 years why he shouldn't study the syndrome of just being sick, reasoning that if you could cure the syndrome called sicking, it wouldn't really matter what caused it, for they would soon be holing. It was this insight that caused Dr. Selye's revolutionary concept relating to stress as the prime root of all illness. Stress is often cited as a major cause of illnesses today. But stress is not something that comes from a job. It's not something that comes from a relationship. It is not something that comes from a problem, simply making itself known in the world today. It is our response to these things. We don't have to respond with resistance. We don't have to let people or conditions determine how we are going to think or how we are going to feel. We always have a choice. It's important to take inventory from time to time of our habits to see how we subtly turn relaxing to stressing, from easing to diseasing, from holding to sicking. In dealing with the basics of spiritual healing, we make the important discovery that illness does not just happen to a person. Everyone participates in some way in his or her physical problems through the attitudes or the moods or the complexes with which they deal with life. All malfunctions of the physical system are a kind of human behavior, a way in which the body responds to our experiences. Again, the other side of this observation is that everyone, every single one of us, participates in our own healing. It calls for taking responsibility for our own lives, for the effects of our consciousness, for the condition of our body temples. This is not to say that we are on our own. We're not. For there is a healing flow within us that is constantly renewing and constantly restoring if we can create the condition of consciousness that makes the result of wholeness inevitable. Now, sometimes the process of spiritual healing is oversimplified. How the beginning student of truth loves to say smugly, "It's all in your consciousness." And this is correct, unchangeably so. But it doesn't mean that the cause of the condition cannot be found in the thought one is thinking right now, this very moment. The crippling condition of a little child, or even one who is born lame or blind, calls for a more profound explanation. Certainly, life is consciousness, but much of consciousness is the vastness of the collective unconscious, which may stretch even beyond birth into a previous life experience. Keep open to the realization that the allness of you encompasses the eternal experience of you, and then get on with the work of wholing in your present experience. Imagine for a moment an open window on a clear day with the sun streaming in. The window may be small, and the panes of glass may be opaque with dirt or tinted with stained glass. In each case, the light shining into the room is shaped and shaded by the opening through which it comes. Outside, the sunlight is clear and it's bright, while inside it becomes to us that which the window allows in. Life is whole. Life cannot be sick, cannot be old, and life can never die. Life is the universal energy through which spirit manifests as us, but always to the degree of our conscious acceptance. As the sunlight streaming through the window is a shaft of light, forms an image on the floor, so the light flows through us and assumes the form of our image of ourselves. So in a very real sense, any appearance of illness is the effect of a causative limitation in the opening through which the light flows. Somewhere in the subconscious mind, there must be a faulty self-image. Paul says, "Be transformed by the renewal of your mind." This is the practical side of the healing process, working to dissolve destructive moods and complexes. This is what wholing involves. It is what healing prayer entails. Through it, wonderful things can be accomplished. However, it is a mistake to assume that you can totally restructure your self-image by rattling off a few affirmations or a few treatments here and there. It is certainly important to make a beginning and to work tirelessly at the process, but we must recognize that illness often becomes self-identification. You may be saying, "I am asthmatic, I am arthritic," and so on and so on and so on. But it is not what you have. It is what you are doing. It is to this state that Jesus says, take up your bed and go home. Break out of the box in which you have been confining yourself. Make an effort to get up and get out. But first you must see yourself up and out. In the theater of your mind, project a motion picture on the screen of awareness and see yourself doing all the things that your physical condition may have at one time restricted. See yourself whole. See yourself strong. See yourself active and involved. This is holy. This is the fundamental mind principle. The metaphysical law is, having seen and felt the end, you have willed the means to the realization of that end. In holding, you hold the image of health and vitality, seeing yourself experiencing a life of accomplishment and sustained with strength and energy. It is incredibly helpful to contemplate the thought that the body of the flesh is an outward and visible showing of the idea of God-mind. I believe there is a counterbody in the realm of spirit where all the organs and the functions are perfect patterns that actually direct the forming and sustaining of their physical counterparts. For instance, no matter what the prognosis in the heart ailment, there is a counterpart heart in spirit that is whole, perfect, and complete. It is a wellment beyond the ailment. The heart beats because something transcends its beating. There is a film out there entitled The Development of a Chick. It shows an egg in the process of incubation, skillfully done in time-lapse photography. We see a strange pulsation commence in the yolk of the egg. It is the beating of the heart before there is a heart to beat. And then before our eyes, we see the embryo form and a heart take shape, picking up the beat which came first. This suggests and dramatically proves a transcendent pattern that was directing the outer formation or the development of the chick. Reflect often on the image of your body of wholeness, a perfect pattern, composed of perfect counterpart to your eyes, to your ears, to your lungs, to your heart, to all of your body. In a healing meditation, hold an image of a shaft of light shining right into your lungs or your stomach or your pancreas or your whole body, giving the beat that comes first. It's interesting that when a limb has been amputated, one may experience in the limb for some time its sensations. It's likely evidence that the counterpart body is seeking to restore that limb. Dr. Robert Becker of the State University of New York Upstate Medical Center in Syracuse has experimented with electrical current to stimulate amputated limbs in rats, partially to regenerate. He says that theoretically they could completely grow back. He has had considerable success, leading to implications that potentially one could learn to release a process within the body to not only regenerate amputated members, but to grow new eyes and to build a new heart without a transplant. It's an exciting thought. It sounds futuristic, but let's not write it off. You are whole right now. Any condition can be healed because transcendent to any illness, there is a pattern of life that is whole, perfect, and complete. And this is the reality of you. It is for this reason that you can deny the illness. Not that you can say that it does not exist, for that would be delusion. But you can deny the sense that it is not telling the truth, revealing only a part of you. So, I tell you to tell the truth. Affirm your wholeness. I am not sick. My body is experiencing a condition that I am of me is only whole. The secret of experiencing radiant health lies in so vividly imagining it that you literally exude the consciousness of it. When you see yourself radiantly healthy and act it and talk it and even dress it, you will tend to draw to yourself the means in terms of strength and resistance to any and all kinds of illness. Paraphrasing a comment about success by a successful industrialist, it is just as easy to see yourself healthy as it is to see yourself sick, and it is far more interesting. A good example of the influence of the imaging power of the mind is in worry and fear. In every dramatic way, these states of mind tend to bring to you that which you fear, you are worried or fearful of. For having seen and felt the end, you have willed the means of realization of that end. There is a lot of talk about epidemics these days. The Zika virus, the flu, incurable ailments in the news today. We must stand porter at the door of our mind, holding with discipline the image of wholeness, the image of perfection, the truth. For uncontrolled, the mind vividly pictures the undesirable conditions, and as Job said, that which I fear comes upon me. That which is impressed on the mind will tend to be expressed in the body. It becomes an image in mind which is held up to the universe to be filled. Consider so simple a condition as a cut finger. Normally, we are so confident of the healing process that goes right to work that we do not give a second thought to the cut on the finger. The perfect finger pattern in infinite mind directs the symphony of life into a concerto of cellular renewal. But suppose that we instantly begin to worry about infection and the possibility of scars, allowing worry and emotional upset to rule the mind all day long and all night long. There could be a disruption of the natural healing process, affecting the antibodies in the blood and the renewal of the cells. It is conceivable that the infection could set in and the whole healing process could be impeded. One of the responsibilities that is ours as living creatures is to build and maintain a healthy-minded consciousness that supports the natural healing renewal process. Haven't we been told, "Thou dost keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee"? In other words, God will keep you in the free flow of radiant life and health if you keep yourself centered in the awareness of oneness with him. It is extremely helpful. It's a must, really, to have regularly scheduled quiet times of centering and inward prayer of wholeness, along with the time to affirm the body and the mind functioning smoothly, like a finely tuned engine with every organ and function performing its integral task. Remember, health is natural. It is always true that you are whole. Thus, the healing process does not make you whole. It is a recentering of your consciousness in your wholeness, in the allness that is always present, even within the illness. When we are lost in a far country experiencing a separation, we are sicking. That is a state of mind that adds up to less than the wellness-sustaining level. To get involved in the kinds of thoughts and feelings which are above that level, that is holding. Of course, You do not have to wait until you are ill to practice holing. In fact, the finest time to practice is when you are well. A few moments, several times a day, spent in an attitude of wholeness will ensure a symptom-free, pain-free, and disease-free life. This is the promised life more abundant. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment now to get comfortable in your seat. Rest your feet flat on the floor and put your hands in a comfortable position, either at your sides or in your lap. And I ask you just to take a moment to relax. Just relax and be still. Take a deep breath in and let it out slowly, letting go of everything that may be causing you to worry or be fearful. And be still and quiet. Let go of worrisome thoughts. Let go of the things that you have to do throughout the week. Let go of everything that is causing you anger or resentment. And if there's any jealousy there, let that go as well. Go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father waits, His arms open, His love unconditional, and His peace perfect. I am made in the image and likeness of God. I am complete. I am whole. And I am perfect. I am the picture of health and the picture of wholeness. My life is abundant in all that is good. There is nothing and no one who can rob me of my true nature unless I allow them to do so. I have a choice to live under the mistaken beliefs of the man whose breath is in his nostrils, or rest under the protective wings of the Almighty. I can listen to and buy into the illness and disease of the world and all that that has to offer, or I can see it as the illusion of the race consciousness, deluded thinking, or I can see with the eyes that are too pure to see iniquity. Knowing that God is in charge, I set no time limits, inability, weakness, or fear of my own or another's healing. I rise above any negative thoughts or feelings about the present or predictions about future conditions. I align myself with the presence and the power of God already within me. The spirit of life within is healing, restoring, and awakening me to the greater expression of my oneness with God. I choose this day to see with pure vision the love and unfailing faith that I am just as my loving Father created me, complete, whole, perfect. Today I will rise, take up my bed, and walk. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes His light to shine upon you. He is gracious to you, and He lifts your consciousness and gives you peace, love, and wholeness. Amen.